Blog Talk Radio.
Seek ye first the kingdom, God's government, and our petitions will be fulfilled, is the title of the sermon that we are going to have today. Sunday worship services today at 1:30 p.m. is going to bring us music by Darlene Hereford, followed by opening prayer. So Darlene Hereford right now will be singing our opening song. Thank you so much, Darlene.
Good morning. All the glory to God. Thank you for Leona for having me on today. And I'm going to sing a song, Walk in the Light, because that's all we need to be doing right now is focusing on what the glory of God is, working for the kingdom. Okay. Walk in the light, beautiful light, somewhere the dewdrop of mercy shines bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world, my soul loves Jesus, my soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus' blessed name. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Bless His name. Amen. Okay, Leona, we're going to come on and we're going to do testimony or whatever might be available for us this morning.
Yes, we're going to open with prayer right now. I'd like to start a prayer and that Darlene will follow as well, I pray. Heavenly Father, Jehovah Jireh, we come before you this morning to give you praises, glory, and honor. We thank you, Almighty Father, for the rest that we've had during the night. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for waking us up in all of our senses, with all of our limbs, and in our right minds. We thank you for the rest that we had. We thank you for the rest that you shared on our behalf. Christ Jesus, we thank you for the healing that you did when you were in this continent, when you were in this world. We thank you for the healing that we thank you for teaching us about the Father and teaching us about the fruitages of the Spirit. But above all, we thank you for the blood that you shed on our behalf. We come before you this morning, dear Father, to give you the great glory and praises. And we ask you to continue to be with us, be with our loved ones worldwide, especially your children, regardless of age, gender, race, or religion, wherever they may be that are suffering so much in this ungodly world we're living in. We ask that you come quickly, dear Father, to end all of these systems of things that are so disrupting and so dysfunctional. We know that you created a perfect paradise, and we know that someday we are going to be able to enter into that perfect paradise or heavenly kingdom, whichever you have chosen for us. So we come before you this morning again, dear Father. We thank you for the blood that was shed on our behalf so that we may be saved. And we will, this morning, be giving you all the glory. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray.
God of praise. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Okay.
Father, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Lord, if you haven't done anything you've done for me, you've done enough. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for life. I want to thank you for your healing, Lord. I want to thank you for being a provider to treat them, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for just touching the souls of so many, Lord. I'm thanking you, Lord, for the testimonies that I hear from believers, Lord, for the mighty things you've done, Lord. To God be the glory, and let your will always be done in our lives, Lord, because we are believers, and we're here to lift you up. The Spirit says that the praises go up, the blessings come down. And, Lord, just allow us to be a physician so that we can bless others, Lord. Amen.
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 Thank you, Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. So this morning, we're going to be talking about a few things. First of all, we will be discussing past and current prophecies soon to be fulfilled and what must be done to prepare for what's to come. So please join us as we do these prayers and worship as we speak on God's word in the precious name of His Son, our Savior, the Christ yes. Jesus. We're going to start off, first of all, with the 2 Timothy 3:16, which is all scripture is inspired by of God and is beneficial for teaching, for reproving, for correcting, and for instructing in righteousness. So we're going to begin with that as well as to let everyone know, according to 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, we are not walking in the flesh. We are not walking with the flesh. In Ephesians 6:12, talks about we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness and high places in this world. So I want everyone to know that we really must remember that when Adam and Eve were deceived, they were deceived by Satan, which shows right there that we are living amongst a world with evil spirits as well as the good. And so we need to think about these things as we talk and as we go through what we're going to be discussing today. Another thing is we are looking at the signs of the time, and many people have not thought about the signs of the times, but we have to realize, again, as it says in Luke 12:54, and he said to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there comes a shower, and so it is. And when we see south wind blow, we say there's going to be heat, and it comes to pass. So it says, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern the signs of the time? So we have to look at what's happening around us right now in this world today. Not only this country, but the world itself. We have to really think about what is to come. The reason I wanted to do a sermon today is because we are living at a time now where everyone is looking to the wrong places for this peace of comfort, for their desires. And we're not looking in the right places. We're looking at a government that is worldly. We're looking at the worldly governments. We're looking at countries that are full of greed and power and fame. And they're not focused on our Creator. They're not focused on the good things in the world. We have to remain focused. And what we're doing is we're turning a blind eye to the Bible scriptures. We're turning a blind eye to what God has been trying to tell us throughout our lives. And it takes some time for tragedy to cause people to really seek and search for the kingdom of God. And this is what we're hoping today can do, is to let God know that we have not turned our backs on Him. If we have, we want to have Him forgive us and give us a second chance. And I do ask God to forgive me for my sins, forgive my loved ones for my sins, and their sins as well, even the sins that sometimes we don't realize that we have done. So we always have to remain in prayer, asking God to forgive us for anything and everything that we may have done.
So Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth meditation day and night. He should not be like a planet, like a tree planted by the waters, but bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like a chaff, which is wind driven away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of righteousness. Amen to that.
Amen. Thank you for that. So as Jesus was with his disciples, and they went up to the mountains, and seeing the multitude, Jesus looked up, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are. And the things that we want to talk about right now is how God has blessed and how God will be blessing. And as he told his disciples, when he saw the crowd, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We have so many people in this world today who are so broken in spirit, whether they're in the streets, communities, whether they're in their homes or the homes of others, whether they're in prison, whether they're in nursing homes or hospitals, even in the churches. We have people that are so broken-spirited, and these are the things that we also want to remember. So we need to pray for those. But he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then he said, "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And we have so many people who are mourning over the losses of their loved ones, over the losses of their homes. And right now, materialism is the last thing that anyone wants to think about. So we always have to remember the spiritual is what we're seeking, not the materialism. And these people who are mourning will be comforted. And it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And he said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be seeing God," the pure in heart. And how many of us can actually say we're completely pure in heart? And many of us are trying so hard to be, but we really need to try harder, especially in these days and times, with all the evil that's going on in the environment around us. And there is much evil going on. And it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." You know, some people think it's very difficult to be merciful to others. And this is also sad, because sometimes people judge, people take it upon themselves to judge others. They take it upon themselves to hate others that they don't even know. And they don't feel sorry for their situations. And unfortunately, there are so many people in this country and around the world who are so much in need of love and support from Christian brothers and sisters. And we don't see that happening either. We see so many people falling apart, so many people committing suicide, nowhere to turn, no one to turn to, because we're living in a cold environment in these days and ages. And that is for the mercy. "Merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And we see that happening a lot. We see that happening a lot where people are persecuting others that they don't know. And it says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And those were the 12 blessings, the 12 beatitudes that are mentioned in the book of Matthew. And then we also have to remember, it says in Matthew 29, verses 9 to 12, "Call no man your father, for there is one father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." And what we have in this country right now and around the world, we have people that want to be masters. We have people that want to be in power and take the place of our Creator. And this is what we have to be focused on. We really need to pray on. We really need to pray on. Darlene, do you have something to say on that one? Because this is something that needs to go a long way.
Can you hear me, Leona?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. For some reason, my line had dropped. I'm so sorry. But, you know, the Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And in seeking that, he tells us all the rewards. Okay, you know, we fight not against man, but principalities, as you were suggesting before. Principalities in high places, and some of those even governmental forces. And being where we are at this time in life, we think we have to think why we're still here. And God has a plan for each and every one of us. And all he asks us to do is love and be obedient to his will and his word. So in all doing that, there's no reason, you know, if all the things that are persistent and happening in the world today are because of disobedience, okay? We all fall short of the glory of God. And knowing that, we have to, it has to come some point where we can come together and just start to work on building, you know, the building God's kingdom, because it's only about the peace, it's only about the love, it's only about the things he would want us to do. He wants us to prosper in his word. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to be, he wants us to be messengers of his word. And in doing that, in the scripture says he would heal our land. So we just have to stay focused, stay in the word, and whatever comes out of that, it'll be his glory.
Exactly. And again, like it says, call no man upon the earth father. And it says, the greatest among you shall be your servant. So what we have, the society that we live in, those who are greater among us are our leaders, our worldly government, but they don't exalt themselves, they don't humble themselves. And according to Matthew 9:9-12, it said, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. But he that is greatest among us in this world today, they're not our servant. They're our dictators. Yeah. And that's what we're living amongst, dictators who look at themselves as being higher up than even our creator himself. These are our leaders that look down upon us. They look down upon us because they consider themselves the masters. But in Matthew 9:29-9-12, it clearly states that he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And we don't see that happening in this world today.
No, they don't. They don't. It's just, it's like, I mean, things are going right over the heads of us as a people. And it's just like we're just too quiet, you know. And it's time for the time. And you know that he's coming. He's coming just as he said he would. And we need to get ready. We need to get ready. We need to help prepare and kind of direct and, you know, help each other make sure that we're on the right road, you know, straight and narrow path. And we're here to serve and to prepare for what's coming. And he wants us ready when he comes.
And this is something that people are not looking at, what's to come. They talk about
know.
It. They don't really believe it's happening. They don't believe it's really going to happen. But in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, it says there's going to be scoffers. There's going to be people that are going to be saying that. Nothing's happened since, you know, the people back in the ancient days when the flood took place. Nothing has happened since. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, it warns them. It says that people laughed at Noah when he was building the ark. When Noah was building the ark, there was no rain at that time. The water, the mist would come up from the ground. So when he's building this huge ark, he's building this ark and he's telling these people, we need to get prepared. We need to get prepared. There's going to be a flood. They laughed at him until the day.
He forewarned them, yeah.
And it was too late. God told Noah back then, after the flood, he said that he... And this is whenever we see a rainbow, this is a reminder from God that the world would never be destroyed by flood again. But he did say the next time would be by fire. When we think about the fires going on around the world, when we think about global warming, and look at now, we've got, yesterday was freezing, today is pretty good, but the weather changed. We look at the fires in California, in Hawaii, we look at the fires all over the world, and then we look at the nuclear weapon threats that are being made right now from Russia by fire.
Well, there are a lot of Everything is dictated in the Bible. We're living in that time now, you know. You talk about the change of the season. He said there will be a time when, you know, what you wouldn't realize, recognize one season for the other, you know. And here in the summertime, we're getting rain when we normally would have been in spring. In the wintertime, we get warmth, where in spring, we're getting, you know, the snowstorms, the earthquakes, and the tornadoes. They had 3 tornadoes that touched down a couple weeks ago. And during that tornado, there was an earthquake happening at the same time in Colorado. So, you know, there are a lot of things going on that we can't explain, that person, a human can't explain. But just like you said with Noah and Ark, he forewarned everything. And we have to, you know, you have to do your diligence and, you know, to be sure that you follow the word.
That's the truth. Mm-hmm. We really need to get people to understand. They need to stop focusing on the real issues, and they really need to stop focusing so much on themselves, on judging others, on hating others. They need to be merciful to others, as this is the Christ Jesus. He died for us all, and we were all sinners.
Yes,
and what did he say when he was on that cross? Is, but Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. They know not what they do.
Mm-hmm. Who are we to judge? In the book of Acts 17, mm-hmm. 24-27, it says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served mm-hmm. by humans as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from mm-hmm. one man, every nation of mankind, to live on all the face of the earth, having determined mm-hmm. allotted periods and the boundaries of the dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually
mm-hmm.
not part of any of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right. And, you know, and I believe it's Proverbs 7, where it talks about the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge. The foolish despise the wise and instruction, wisdom and instruction. And so that just goes to show you there. He's laid a way for us. He's drawn the map, you know. And this is how we get there. So we have to praise. We have to glorify. And we have to study to show ourselves approved. But it's here for everyone and anyone who wants it. Just like salvation. It's here. And salvation is here. So whoever might want to seek it, and being that you are, you know, whatever nationality you want to be, because he comes here, he's not looking for a nationality to stay, but he's looking for the faithful, okay? And the ones who are willing to work and get out and do his will. It's about the people. It's about the person. And when we're going to be, when we are judged, you know, those very last hours, he's not looking for he doesn't look at a man's president. He looks at, the degree. He doesn't look at your nationality. He doesn't look at your status as far as religion. He's looking at your spirit, at your heart. He wants the faithful. He gave his life so that all men can be free. And it's only the only freedom we'll ever have is in his word. And that's where salvation, that's what keeps each and every one of us going.
You know, I was reading something that I had come across this week, and it was from John, 1 John 3:15, a murderer is not forgiven by the blood of Christ. And this was interesting because it said that everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
Yes,
and
it does.
A murderer is not forgiven by the blood of Christ. And it says, the rest of the Bible categorically affirms that Jesus' blood paid for all sin, including the sin of murder. The Apostle Paul was a murderer of Christians, and it's in the book of Acts 8, 1, 22, 19, 20, 26, 9, to 11. And Paul, of all people, he became the Apostle Paul. And David, another one, David the king, was a murderer, killing Uriah. And he was forgiven as well in Psalms 32:1-2. Peter wrote that the believers should not suffer as a murderer. In fact, the most evil and unjust murder that ever occurred on earth was the murder of the Son of God. Yet, during his torture and murder, Jesus exclaimed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing."
They know not what they do.
If these men could be forgiven for murdering the Son of God, then surely all sins can be forgiven. John is hating our brothers with murdering him. Therefore, if we are to take this verse as face value, then we would need to claim that anyone who hates his brother cannot have eternal life. And this is a true statement. But it also pours into, again, it pours into what was said, that this, when destruction comes upon this earth, it's going to be worse than the Sodom and Gomorrah was. Because back they didn't have the knowledge that we have in Bible scriptures. They did not have the knowledge we have on how to respect or honor God and how to do things or compassionate or merciful to others. And this is it also mentions in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about in the last days what the attitudes of others are going to be. And I don't know if you have that in front of you, but let me just pull that up. 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 1.
Okay.
It says, "For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." We have all of this all around us. "Without natural affection."
Oh, yes.
"Breakers, false accusers." We have false witnesses even in the courts. "Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of God, but denying the power thereof. For all this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins." You know, it talks about if we're not prepared. This is how Satan works. Satan works through his people, and we're seeing that all around us as well.
All around us. I was looking at, while you were looking at 2 Timothy, I was looking at verse 3 in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and it talks about without natural affection, trash breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and dispense of those that are good, traitors. It's heavily head-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this is where we are now. I don't mean to go offline, but I mean, I look at all the people who have come to this earth. You know, the Bible tells you that we could be of this earth, but we don't have to. We could be in of the earth, but we don't have to be in it. We don't have to live and take part in everything that the earth has to offer, is what I'm trying to get to. And as I just talked about, you know, how people are, we have so many millionaires and billionaires, and they can have all the money in the world, but if they don't know God, they have nothing. They still make the mistakes that a lot of them commit suicide. These people are never happy because they haven't found a true answer. And it's not all in that, you know? So, I was just looking at that third verse there. It kind of tweaked me a little bit. But it says, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse deceiving and being deceived." They have worse than being deceived. And, you know, and when I was a child, I used to always wonder what the Bible would say, that money would be the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. And I finally, it came to me that it's not the money that would be the root of all evil, but it's what people will do for money and what they'll use it for. And, you know, if money is not a god. And they have to remember that anything that embellishes man, it's going to be from God, where we'd have that peace and freedom to do what we would have to do and be able to help each other. each other's people as his people the way he would want us to do. You know?
Exactly. It's the love of money, not so much the money. We do need money to survive. The love of money. And it's sad, you know, because a lot of people, they have all these fancy jewelry and diamond earrings and watches. And we have all these celebrities. We have all these athletes with all this money. And then yet we're looking at places like Gaza and places in Africa and, you know, places in Central and South America where they're starving, starving. You know, the lands are destroyed. And I myself, if I had that kind of money, or even if I had that kind of jewelry, I would sell it to help these people. And I don't know if you remember the rich man that went to the Christ Jesus and wanted to follow him. He wanted to know how he could become one of his followers. And Jesus said, give up all your riches to the poor and come to follow me. And the rich man couldn't give up his riches, so he walked away with his head down.
He can't give up his riches.
That's it. And we have so many of those attitudes in the world, and it's sad because they're putting all of this money before them, thinking they can leave it to their children when they're gone. But we came into this world with nothing, and that's how we're going to go out. And it's sad that people would think to be that greedy or keep all that materialism in their heads. But we're going to also be talking today about testimonies, and we have someone on the phone. I don't know if they're calling in to listen, to say something, or to give a testimony. 313-828.
Yes, any comments?
They may be listening for now, but again, these are some of the things that we have to think about. We're living at a time right now where there's a threat of nuclear weapons being used. And once one country lets off nuclear weapons, we know it's going to follow. And I believe right now we're at the beginning of a holy war or in the middle of a holy war. And I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, and the Bible says there'd be wars and rumors of wars. And being that there are wars and rumors of wars and all other types of defilements. But this is where we are, and you know, a lot of people, I don't know. I look, and when I tell people what I see and what I've read and what I believe, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you're a conspiracy person, and you're this, that, and the other, but you know what? You got to get in a book and see it, and what you're seeing on TV, on the news, although the local news doesn't report everything, okay? But everything. The word says everything that God has set before us is like a map. It's like a reopened area that it guides you, directs you right through the book. You know, just seeing what's going on around the world there. You got to know that Jesus is real, okay? And no one could see that far. No one.
Okay. I believe strongly in the Christ Jesus. And a lot of times, just like, okay, the Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet, as with Muhammad. The Jewish people don't believe. Well, now, since all of this has happened throughout the years, you have some Jewish religions that are starting to acknowledge the fact that the Christ did, you know, was the Son of God, but they don't acknowledge that he was God. And so there are still misdoubts about the actual performance or being of the Christ Jesus. But one of the things you have to remember, whether the Christ is the Son of God or whether he is God himself or whether he is a prophet, he himself said a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. But at the same time, he gave his life for us as a ransom sacrifice. And to me, that's what matters most.
Yeah, it does. You know, in the Bible, it even tells you, I think that's John 13, and I'm trying to remember the 14th chapter. I'm trying to remember. I remember the part, well, in my father's house in the mansion. But, you know, in chapter 5, I was looking there, it's where Thomas was talking to the Lord, and his reply, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from forth hence you know him and have not seen him. You know, he was talking to Philip, and he was talking to Thomas about who he was. You know, yeah, everybody wants to go to God, but you have to go through the Son. The Son that was sacrificed as a lamb for spiritual fulfillment. And that was fulfillment was to save us, to keep us out of bondage. And you know, what the word, all it guides us to do is believe. Okay? We have to fear the Lord. And he knows everything. Remember, hairs on the head. I mean, we wake up every morning and everybody needs to get on their knees and say, thank you, Jesus, for this new day. Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But he's got his hand on us. All we got to do is believe and pray whatever we want. And you're talking about being able to move on with your life and being able to be free from diseases, things like cancer, you know, the kidney diseases. And just to be here, just the chance is an opportunity he gives us. And like earlier, we were talking about we're all falling short of the glory of God. But guess what? We perceive and we believe. You know, if you believe, then you can just look forward to his word fulfilling your dreams, you know.
Yes. People just don't understand enough. We hear about all these miracles happening in the communities around the country in different states. And people are always giving law enforcement or firemen or, citizens in the community the praises and, you know, patting them on the back. But it's God working through these people to actually perform these miracles of saving others. You know, and this is what they don't understand. Another thing is when Jesus was praying, he spoke the words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, mm-hmm. that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority mm-hmm. over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is mm-hmm. eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified mm-hmm. you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And then he prayed for his disciples. He prayed, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were mm-hmm. yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. Mm-hmm. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am mm-hmm. no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with mm-hmm. you in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them are lost except the son of perdition. That is the mm-hmm. scripture fulfilled, and that was Judas. But now I come to you, mm-hmm. I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your mm-hmm. word. The world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You know, when I think about these things, I always say, I don't feel that I'm of this world. There are so many people in this world that are just existing, just waiting for the day that mm-hmm. Christ does return. And this is mm-hmm. sad with everything going on around us.
Yeah. And he put it out there so that we know, you know. And that's why he wants us to spread the word, you know. Let's see. Like I said, believe it thou not. That I am the Father, and the Father in me, and the word that I speak unto you, I speak not unto myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works that at the work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me shall the works that I do, he do also. And greater works than these he shall do, because I go unto my Father. Yeah, that's that. He's saying very, very authentic. The things that he's done that we as men would be able to do too. But you got to believe. You have to believe in the Father and the Son. That's why you have to go for Jesus. Mm.
I want to invite anyone that's listening in, the audience, to call in if you have a testimony you'd like to give. And the call-in number is 657-383-1630. Again, 657-383-1630. And I'd like to give a quick testimony myself, and then we'll accept any other testimonies. I want to say back in 1993, it was July 11th, I attempted suicide because a tragedy hit home. And I ended up in the hospital. I don't know to this day how long I was in the hospital. I don't know when I was transferred from the hospital to a psych ward or whatever and back to the hospital. I don't remember anything. And unfortunately, family and friends never mentioned anything to me about it to this day. But I will say I remember something. I think the doctor or the psychiatrist said to me, he said, Leona, he said, you don't want to kill yourself because your son is going to need you when they find him. And I thank God to this day that he did not take me when I made that foolish mistake of trying to terminate my own life, because it, mm-hmm. that said that was right. Mm-hmm. And I want everybody to know that miracles do happen. There is a God that believes in us, and a God that understands us, and a God that forgives us, and a God that's merciful to us and our loved ones, a God that has ways higher than ours could ever be. And that's one of the things that we forget. We forget that we have a Father that's higher than any government official.
Yeah.
We have a Father in this world and beyond this world that is hearing our prayers and that is allowing us to come before him any second, any minute, any hour, any day, any year, mm-hmm. any month. And I will say another thing. You try to get an appointment to see your governor, or to see your president, or to see your mayor, you try to get an appointment to meet with any of them. Unless you have a title, you will not do that. With God, we can come, and he is the Most High, the healer, the creator, the the doctor, the jury, the judge. He is that big and powerful, and yet we can go before him anytime. And even though we may not get a response from him verbally, we're getting a response from him in spiritual, because I feel it. Every time I pray to God, I feel his presence, and I tell him this.
Yes.
So we have to realize that miracles do happen. We do have a higher power, higher than any worldly government, and we have to acknowledge him. We have to give him praises. We have to thank him even when we're at our lowest peak, even when we have trials and tribulations in our lives, even when we're at the verge of losing a loved one. Whatever the case may be, we have to know that God is in control of all these things. He is not going to let us down. To let his children down, regardless of their ages, gender, race, or religion. This is a creator that created us. He's our master. He's our redeemer. He's our most high and most holy one. He's our miracle worker, and I pray that he is even our friend.
Yes, he's everything. Amen.
This is a God that's compassionate, merciful. He's loving. He's understanding. We have his undeserved kindness. We have his mercy. We have his forgiveness when we are truly sorry for the sins that we've committed. We have to realize that this higher power, that's the highest above all, he's not dead. He's a living God. He's a living, living, living God. And just as he did with the flood, when the people started messing up so bad and the sons of God started mingling with the daughters of man, and he said, this is it. He had to destroy it. And that's why he destroyed it by flood. And the same thing's happening today, except worse. And there's going to be a time, as it says in Bible scriptures, he is going to destroy it. It's going to be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. So let's realize now, people, brothers and sisters, let's realize we need to change. We need to start loving one another. We need to start supporting one another. We need to start praying for one another. We need to start coming together in unity and praising God the Most High, and his Son, our Savior, the Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That is the truth. And like you, Leon, I have a testimony. God, I just thank him, and I'm so faithful, and I'm so grateful for the things that he's done in my life. We all, you know, fall short. But guess what? We have that Father. We have that brother. He's a mother and a father to the homeless. You know, he was said, the scripture said he'd never leave us as orphans. And the things that God has done in my life, I mean, since I was a small, small child, I'm just grateful because I know if it hadn't been for him, like you mentioned earlier about the firemen, about the doctors and how they save lives. But guess what? God has he allowed that anointing. He allowed that spirit to be around him because he decides when we're going to leave here. Yeah, people come for 7 years and they come out. You know, and God gives those second chances. It's not man. They only work at the ability. He allows them to work. Once he anoints you, there's nothing that you can't do in his name, in his favor, his will, his grace. But if it hadn't been for him, I know for a fact that I might not be alive today. And there's so many situations, so many things have tried to attack me from different areas that the average person wouldn't survive. You know, I even had the doctor told me your tolerance of pain is off the record, you know. But hey, I acknowledge and I know who it's coming from, you know. And you have to, everything is by his will, by his grace. And you just have to believe that he's there. He can bring you out of anything. There's nothing he can't do. And biblically, and back in the day of old, when Jesus walked through the miracles that he performed, and then it was passed on to his disciples that he told to go preach the word, and he told them what their abilities would be, because that was because they surrendered, and they believed, you know, they did his will, and everything that the promise, that God promised, I mean, they have the ability to do, and we have the ability, I believe, to do the same thing. But I just thank him. I just thank him. I thank him for my family, my children. I thank him for you, and I thank him for everybody that he allows to touch our paths, okay? And it's a reason for us to be in here today. We need to share these things, and we need to lift each other up, you know, and praise and just let God know that we love and we're willing to do his will, you know? So come on, folks, let's get it together. Anybody who has a testimony, we are here, and we'd like to hear it. And I'm going to leave it right there for now.
Thank you. Caller 313, do you have a testimony or would you like to say something? Well, I want to add something else. I want to add something mm-hmm. else too. When people talk about believing in God, and when I see it all the time on social media, when they mention the word God, when they put that word out there, it's a small G, a small O, and a small D.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many gods out there in the world today. But the Most High deserves more than small G-O-D. They need to have the largest G-O-D all in capitals. And when people talk about God, they shouldn't be whispering about him. They should be praising his name and talking loud about him. Because this is what we have. And we have in society people that say they believe in God, and yet they're talking about him like he's just another man. They spell his name like he's just another God. And this is where we need to come alive, because this is why we're in the position that we're in today. And the enemy thinks they're going to destroy us. They're going to destroy our loved ones. But as long as we keep God in the forefront and we give him all the praises, glory, and honor, and we praise his name to the top of our lungs, unless we do that, we're not going to see the miraculous deeds. He performs right now. Just our speaking is a miracle, because without God giving us these miracles, we would not be able to have a tongue to talk. We would not have voice. We would not have hearing or seeing or feeling or tasting or touching. We would not have
anything.
I thank him for the bed I sleep on and the pillows I lay my head on. I thank him for the air that we breathe. I thank him for the food and drink. I thank him for opening doors of opportunities when others close, opportunities for health and healing, opportunities for freedom, opportunities for mercy, opportunities for forgiveness. I thank God. I thank God for the vehicle I drive. I thank him for the blood that was shed on our behalf.
Yeah.
I thank him for our shelter.
Yeah.
I thank him for the support he's put before us.
I thank God for everything.
Yes. Yes. Someone said to me one time, do you go out a lot? Do you do this? Or do you? I said, I don't need to because I have my creator here. So when I'm ready to go, I will go. But I spend a lot of time reading and I spend a lot of time praying because right now that's what we need to do. We're at a point in time where we're living in a Babylonian country, in a Babylonian world, and we are going to have to make a decision now because we're nearing the end time. We're not in the last days. We are in the last seconds of the last days. So we really need to start praying and focusing on our Creator and himself and the blood that was shed on our behalf, rather than focusing on our peers, trying to be liked by other people, trying to be accepted by other people, trying to fit in with other people. This is not what we need.
They're not going to save your soul. Amen.
Exactly.
Then those people, men cannot save your soul. Nope. And the thing about it, Leona, you know, near-death experiences are people who have literally died that never, they knew the Lord. They had to know. Because the last thing that the average person says when they're dying, Jesus help me, you know? But you didn't actually help when you were alive. But everybody's going to say his name. Bible says every head shall bow, every knee shall bow. And everyone's going to say, you know, Jesus. Everybody's going to call his name. You know, every knee shall bow. That's right. Everybody's going to call his name. Yeah, but there are a lot of people out here, and it's just really, really, really something, because the word is going to be, he's not going to come to the world. It's spread over us, and with communications and technology the way it is, there's no, you know, there's no end to, you know, where his word lands. There's no end at all.
You know, this is an example of just what we have going on now, because everybody should be calling in, everybody should be speaking out, everybody should be praying, giving testimonies, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there are brothers and sisters, if they're that spiritual, if they believe in God, they would be on here right now. We'd be, you know, talking and praising
them. Let them know. Let them know. I mean, just being what it is, you know, this session, just here alone, for anybody to go in and acknowledge and just be grateful for some of the things he's done in your life. And we don't have to wake up every morning. First thing I do when I wake up every morning, I don't care how I feel physically, I'm going to tell God, just thank you for another day. Because being that it is another day, there are things that can be fulfilled. New things are happen. Whether you got to praise them in the good times and the bad times. And I told someone, well, you know, I have to find something to laugh about every day in any situation. Because it's, hey, to God be the glory for everything that goes on. You got to praise them in the good and the bad. But I'm not going to let the devil take me down to the point where I can't glorify, thank God, for my life. I can't do that because the devil didn't give me that. You know, Satan didn't give me that. Man doesn't give me that. You can have, it could be legal situations. It could be financial situations. You can have problems with your health, you know, problems, situations with your family and other relationships and things of that sort. But guess what? God is the one that's going to fix it. He hears your word. All he needs to know is that you're faithful. And we should be, because he is so faithful. And he's a forgiving Lord. You know, he's a provider. He does anything that we ask in his name. You know, he will do for us if we show that we love him and we trust him. And you have to learn how to talk to him, too. Talk to him. I've seen so many things turn around just on a prayer. Just on a prayer. I'm going to give you something that may sound silly to some folks, but I was at work one day, and it was a cash business, and it was really, really slow. And I said, well, you know, we have a deadline to do this, that, and the other. And I went into my office, and I sat down and put my head on the table. I said, Lord, don't let the weather, don't allow the weather to predict what I can't do today. I said, you have to bless this for me and make it happen. I said, I need this much money by this time before the end of the week. guess what? Those 4 days got really fast. I made more than I ever had. But you got to believe in everything that you ask them for. Okay, everything that you ask them for. And I don't care where it is. You're like, I know people who we've prayed with that have had cancer 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And we heal from cancer. I mean, it literally goes away. And some of those sufferers, it never reoccurred, you know? And people are walking around that had heart attacks, and you never knew, you would never believe that they had those things. And people who are looking for better employment or just looking for a job, period. I mean, if they're faithful, I have seen, you can see it. I know they're all around, everybody sees this, but you have to be grateful, and it has to come to your realization that it's not man who does this for you. It's not what we call luck, okay? It's our belief and our faith in God. He's the provider, and we should never, ever get away from that. And once we do that, as you were saying, you see on Facebook and a lot of other entries where everybody talks about God, and it's in a lowercase. That should never happen. He deserves all the honor, all the praise and glory, and you know we should do a capitalization on the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, but,
yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
where we are.
In the book of Revelations, chapter 12, starting at verse 7, it says, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled with the dragon. Now, Michael is considered in symbolic times as the Christ Jesus himself. And his angels battled with the dragon, and the dragon and its angels battled, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them any longer in heaven. So down the great dragon was hurled, the original serpent. Now, this serpent is the same serpent that deceived Adam and Eve. So the serpent's been on the one called the devil and Satan, who is misleading the entire inhabitant earth. He was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now has come to pass the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their witnessing. And they did not love their souls, even in the face of earth. So what it's basically saying is, because the devil has come down to the earth having great anger, knowing that he has but a short time. So what's happening right now is Satan knows his time has run out. It's pretty much to the very end, and he's going rampant trying to destroy all of God's children. So we have the choice that we can either allow it to happen or we can resist. And in order to resist, we have to keep our focus on who? On God himself. Now, we had somebody that was going to do another testimony. Is that person going to be on, or they don't seem to be on now?
No, I don't know what happened there.
Okay,
but
so
anybody who would want to say anything, you're very, very welcome. We need to celebrate his name, who Jesus is, yes.
And Darlene, we are at the end of the hour, so if you can, would you please sing a closing song, and then we can do our closing prayers?
Yes, yes. I'm going to sing, I need the Lord, I need thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Yeah, we are. I need thee. And I'm asking him for this, for everyone who's hearing this. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. My soul says yes, yes. Yeah, my soul says yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be able to give you some glory today, some praises and honor. We are so sorry that we are living at a time right now, dear Father, that so many people have turned a blind eye, that so many people have drifted away, that so many people just don't care anymore, and that so many people are still continuously wanting to judge, to make their own decisions as to what should happen with your children, how it should happen. So we ask you to continue to walk with us, continue to be with us. Forgive us for us, and know that we are not going to give up, that we are going to continue to fight this battle, to keep in your heart all of the glory and the honor that you have given us. We want to give it to you back. We know that you gave up something so precious to you as a ransom sacrifice.
Yes,
that was the blood of the Lamb, the blood that was shed on our behalf so that we may have hope for salvation. I ask that you find us worthy to receive you when you do come, and I ask that you find us worthy to enter into either the perfect paradise and or heavenly kingdom. I pray, dear Father, for our loved ones, wherever they may be, whatever they are going through. I pray that you will get them through it, that you will use your miracles to free them from all affliction, to free them from everything that they have been going through. And all the people in the world, dear Father, the judgmental people, those who have not even prayed to you, those who have not even asked for wisdom and discernment as you have given us, I pray for them, dear Father. I pray that you will work through them, that you will teach them how to love, how to be more like you. Teach us all to be more like you. That you will teach us to be able to give and to be able to help and to be able to free people from their guilt and the things that they have gone through. We pray for all of those communities who have been harmed by others and those who are incarcerated that have been harmed by others. We pray because we know that Satan is working through all of your children. He is causing your lambs amongst the wolves to stumble. He is making it difficult for so many. But I have today, Father, you know, so many others have decided, leave it in God's hands, because we know that you are in full control of all things. And so I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the blood that was shed. I thank you for your love, your compassion, your mercy, your freedom. I thank you for it all, Father. And I pray for all of those who are in nursing homes and hospitals, those who are in the streets, homeless, those who are being shot down and killed by, by others. I ask you, Father, to be with them, to heal them, to comfort them, to protect them. I ask you to be with those that are in homeless shelters, those who are in substance abuse facilities, those who are in mental health facilities. And, Father, we have an epidemic in this country, and it's not being addressed properly. So I ask you to go into the prisons and heal those that are mentally ill, those who are suffering so much at the hands of ungodly people that are overseeing. I ask you to be with them, Father. And I ask you once again,
thank you, Father,
to continue to be with us at all times. Father, you have been our salvation. You have been our protector. You have been our guide and director. I thank you for all these things.
Thank you, Jesus. You
will always remain in my heart, in the hearts of our loved ones.
Thank you, Father.
And I'm going to let you know, Father, hear from our sister, your daughter, Darlene. Thank you so much, Father. I give you praises, glory, and honor. And I do this all in the precious, blessed, and adorable name of your Son, our Savior, the Christ
Jesus. Yes, Lord. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, that you've afforded us this morning, this afternoon, Lord. And anyone who listened to this broadcast today, let them know, Lord, you're not just for one, you're not for three, just for two, but you see all. We're all your children, Lord. You are the creator. You are everything. You are provider. And we know, Lord, that your will in our lives is going to be done, whether accepted by the people or not. You are who you are. You are Jesus. You are the Son of God. Yes, you are. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord, for life, health, and strength. Lord, anybody who can hear this broadcast, and to the neighbors and to the families and to the members of the families and the friends, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for allowing our people to be who they are, where they are right now, this particular time, because we believe in you, Lord. You say, harden not your heart, and let not your heart be troubled, because you are here, Lord, to support us, Lord. You're going to lift us up, Lord, and the promises that you've made, Lord, those who are faithful And I just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be of that group of the faithful, Lord. And we look forward, Lord, to whatever you have necessary, whatever you have coming from us, because of our belief and our faith in you. Thank God right now in the name of Jesus, I pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Well, I think maybe next Sunday we can be on again for anyone that wants to come on and give a testimony or say a prayer or whatever. We will be doing it next Sunday, probably around 2:00, around the same time. Darlene, my sister.
Around the same time, 1:30, 2:30 would be fine. That'll be fine.
Thank you, so
thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for putting you in a position and a place to tune in, you know, allowing me to be part. Because I just love to tell the world, you know, about the things that he's done in my life and the miracles that I've seen him perform for others. I'm a believer. I will continue to be one. I will not allow anybody to play with my faith because of who he has made me to be. And I thank you. I thank him. I thank him for you all. Okay, and I pray for everybody's blessings. Okay? Love you.
Love you, too. God bless you. And everyone, have a good day, a blessed day, and hope someone will want to come on next time to give a testimony as well. So we are going to end this episode now. I thank everyone for being on with us, and may you have a blessed day. Thank you, darling.
Thank you.